Dear congregation, this morning the focus for the sermon is on 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 13 through 20. Verses 13 through 20. And the theme for the sermon this morning is "Then they came." Then they came. The text words, they are almost similar words, we find in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 15, the very first words. Then, the emphasis this morning is on that word, then. Then they killed the Passover. Over. Well, so the theme is "then they came." Then, a small world word, only four letters. But behind this simple word of only four letters, there is often a lot. Then. It's the same thing with us this morning. Then they celebrated the Lord's Supper. There is a world behind this small word, then. And then, trusting the Lord, what else can we do? And in obedience to his command, they at Providence Reformed Church commemorated Christ's death for them as the great Passover lamb for their sins. Then, again, behind this little word is a world of meaning. Well, this was true also in the days of Hezekiah. The story we just read in 2 Chronicles 30. A few things that happened before this. Then they slaughtered, killed the Passover. For us all, I think it's clear that is for Passover, you could read, the Passover lamb. They killed, they slaughtered the Passover lamb. What happened before? It is the then. Of the recent carrying away of the 10 tribes of Israel in exile. 15 years, more or less, before this then. A traumatic experience also for Judah. It happened in 722 before Christ. And we all know why these 10 tribes were led into exile. Just one reason: sin piled up. Sin from one generation to another generation, and the cup was filled to the brim. The cup of God's wrath. His chastisement. And he led his people, these 10 tribes, away in exile. But there is more behind this word then. It was the time of Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, or in Hebrew, Ahaz. Oh, such a godless king. A king that stopped the service, the worship in the temple. He just stopped it. And instead of it, he began to worship idols all over in Jerusalem and Judah. You could find altars dedicated to idols. And the king was the first one to worship all these idols. Idolatry. What a terrible sin it is. Idolatry is a very hard yoke. It is a yoke. And it is a hard yoke. And it is so in any age. Also today. Do not forget it. Idolatry is a yoke and a hard yoke. Why? Well, idolatry seems so attractive, beautiful. It seems to give so many good things. And it does, probably on the short term. But in the end, it is a yoke of evil. And it binds you to sin. It enslaves you. It ensnares you. And it leads in the end to your death. That's idolatry. It leads away from God. And God is the source of life, of goodness, of love. And everything that leads us away from God closes the door to true life, to love, to righteousness, to knowledge, to goodness. So Ahaz, by his sin of idolatry, closed the door with God. He even sacrificed his children to the Moloch. What a terrible sin. What a terrible sin. But there is more behind this than this small word. There is the then of mercy and grace, of God's loving kindness, of his faithfulness. In the sinful house of Ahaz, that terrible godless king, a young child was born. And here in 2 Chronicles 29, 30 and 31, that boy grew up. He was 25 years old. And what do we read about him? 2 Chronicles 29, verse 2. And he, that's that Hezekiah, that son of that godless king Ahaz, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father has done. What a grace and the mercy of the Lord. 25 years old he is here. I look to the young people here. How old are you? This king is 25 years. And I feel ashamed. I'm so much older. When I consider how righteous he is and what he does. Hezekiah. It is probably 715 before Christ. And he is going to restore the temple service. Invite Israel. Even the remaining people of the 10 tribes. And he's going to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. Then, it is the then of God's indictment. It is an indictment, and it is the then of grace. It was so in the time of Hezekiah, and it is today. And then, there's the table of the Lord amidst us. Then. What a grace that in our time, despite the terrible sins of our nation, Just consider the sin of abortion. And there are so many more sins. In spite of all these sins of killing so many unborn lives, what a terrible sin. And that's just one sin. There is the table of the Lord. That in spite of the sin of this pastor and the elders and the deacons and the organist and you all, the Lord sets his table amidst us, in our midst. He reaches out to us. Then, the Lord allows again, and it shows his willingness. Shows his willingness, and he allows the table to be set again. The runners went around last week and today, and they invited us to come and to attend, to partake at the Lord's table. Have we prepared ourselves? Read verse 14, how the people there in Judah and Israel prepared. Verse 14. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. And all the altars for incense took they away and cast them out into the brook Kidron. There is a radical end to all idolatry as a preparation for Pesach. What did we do with our sin, with idolatry that we found in our life? Did we make a radical end to it this week as a preparation for the Lord's Supper? How did, by the way, these people get that this far? Well, Hezekiah was a godly leader, and he went before them, and he cleansed. We can read that story in 2 Chronicles 29. He cleansed the temple. He took away the altars there. He cleansed the priests and the Levites, and then, only then, he invited the people of Israel and Judah to come to Jerusalem and to celebrate the Lord's Passover. You read that invitation in verses 6 through 9. Let's just read it quickly. 6b through 9. This is the invitation Hezekiah sent out to the remaining people of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. We read 6b. Ye children of Israel, and please fill in your own name. Children of Providence Reformed Church and guests in your midst. Turn again, turn, and take note. You will hear the same word 6 times. This short invitation is all about turning to the Lord. You heard that invitation last week. Turn. Well, let's continue to read. Turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel. And he will turn, the same word, shuv in Hebrew, return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Oh, be not like your fathers, like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers, but yield yourself unto the Lord. Enter into his sanctuary. And here we are this morning, right? Which he has sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, again that word turn, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn again away his face from you, as ye return again unto him. This message and this invitation went out last week is all about Providence Reformed Church. Let us turn to the Lord and not doubt. When we turn to Him in repentance and beg Him for grace, He will turn to us. When we repent, He will repent. Do not doubt this promise of the Lord. There is, by the way, a side note, but it's such beautiful language. There is a very special expression in verse 8. It says there, in the beginning of the verse, yield yourself unto the Lord. Do you know what it says in Hebrew, literally? Because the King James paraphrases here the Hebrew. It's not a literal Hebrew. It is a paraphrase. The literal Hebrew says, give your hand to God. Did we do so this week? Did you give your hand to the Lord? With that acknowledgement, Lord, I give my hand often to the idols of the world. Lord, I seek so often the strength here in my works. Forgive. Did we give our hand to the Lord? And the implication of that is that the Lord is willing to grab our hand and to take our hand and to shake our hand. And the meaning of giving our hand to the Lord is that there's friendship between Him and us. There's fellowship between Him and us. From our side, giving Him our hand is that expression, Lord, I can't do anything else. Here I am. I need Thee. I trust Thee. Trust the work of Thy Son. Attending the Lord's table is nothing else than giving our hand to the Lord. What a beautiful expression. Give your hand, dear congregation, to the Lord. Did we prepare ourselves last week on this way? In repentance, in fear, trembling, maybe with tears? Did we come this morning with that heartfelt desire? Lord, I can't without Thy righteousness, without Thy love, without Thy goodness. Did we have that heartfelt resolve? From now on, I will live differently. I will do things different. From now on, I will serve the Lord. Did we repent and gave our hand to the Lord? But it's also a difficult question, right? Maybe we came here this morning troubled, fearful, because indeed our heart is set on God. We seek His faith and His righteousness, but our daily life, it falls short. And how to attend the Lord's table? Although there is that desire in my heart, but my daily life. Maybe you were bothered this morning. Maybe it was even cold. Well, we can learn with these questions in our mind from the story here. Let's continue to follow the story. There is a great crowd. That's a miracle. A great multitude of people from the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. In other words, there is repentance. There is a desire to be in Jerusalem. There is a desire to kill that Passover lamb, to seek God's forgiveness, and to find that forgiveness and to be filled with joy. There is that desire. Otherwise, you don't come to Jerusalem. There must be a desire in you, right? I hope so, because you're here. I hope it isn't hypocrisy. But there is so much lacking also here. When the Old Testamentic ceremonial laws are laid alongside those people, they fall short. Verse 17. There were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. They didn't prepare themselves as they should have done according to the ceremonial laws. Verse 18a. A multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet, it's strange, right? They had not cleansed themselves. There was not the sanctification the Lord required of them. And then we read, and yet did they eat the Passover. Otherwise than it was written. Oh, Hezekiah took partial measures. We read in verse 17 that the Levites slaughtered the Paschal lambs. Normally, the fathers killed or slaughtered the Paschal lambs. But because of their deficiency and their defect in holiness, in sanctification, the Levites performed this task. But still, even although the Levites kill and slaughter these Paschal lambs, even then, all these people, they fell short. They didn't sanctify themselves as they should have done. Yes, there was a desire, but they fell short. So what happens here? Apparently, they go against God's word, and God allows it. What's happening here? Yet, they eat the Passover, otherwise than it was written. Well, the answer is in verse 20. Let's read it, verse 20. It starts in 18b, sorry, 18b. But, let us thank the Lord that again and again in his word, there is this but, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite, Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord, pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God. It's about our heart. What lives in our heart, the attention of our heart. Though he be not cleansed according to the purification of this sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Here we have the answer how these people that fell short could attend there at that Passover celebration. How? Because of the prayer of their leader, their king, Hezekiah. And it's such a powerful prayer. He makes a powerful appeal to God's grace. See how he begins. The good Lord. He addresses God as the good Lord. Pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to see God. He begs the Lord. Lord, all fall short, but please look further than their shortcomings. Look to their heart. Lord, thou knowest their hearts and their desire. Although they fall short, Lord, thou art a good God. Amazing. What is the message, the invitation that went out repent, turn to the Lord, turn, and the Lord will turn to thee. And Hezekiah just begs the Lord. He says, Lord, thou seest the hearts of these people. Thou knowest how they turn to thee because they are here. They seek thee, Lord. Lord, they reach out with thy hand. Lord, please take their hand. That's his impressive prayer. Although there was shortage, there was this desire. Wouldn't God answer such a prayer favorably? Of course. And he does. He does. And we read that the Lord, verse 20b, healed the people. Not that they were all physically ill, no. But they were spiritually healed. Just by the prayer of Hezekiah. And the Lord answers that prayer and he heals them, he forgives them. Well, would not then, dear congregation, the Lord not hear the prayer of the great Hezekiah, the great intercessor, Jesus Christ? If we turn to God the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we pour out our heart before Jesus Christ, he will take that prayer and bring us to his Father, purified with his blood, and his Father cannot say no to his prayer. Lord, here I am, still laden with sin, oftentimes cold, but Lord, hear my prayer in the name of thy Son. Oh, there is this great intercessor, and he will deposit, right? He will lay down our prayer in the hands of his heavenly Father. And his Father can say no because his Son paid completely, and we seek refuge in him. We are clothed in his righteousness, in his holiness. That's how we attend the table. That gives room and space. And then this unprecedentedly great Passover takes place. Verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. May the Lord give us such joy under the preaching of the word, in the prayers, in the singing of the psalters, and especially at the table. When we come to that table as people that fall short, but seeking Jesus alone, that we may see him there in the signs of bread and wine, that we may receive him there with empty hands and experience communion with him, that we may indeed this morning see him and him alone. May the Lord have mercy upon us and bless us. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 51. Psalter 51. That's Psalm 22. And we'll sing one stanza. Psalter 51, stanza 2. That's the burden of the sorrowful the Lord will not despise. And what follows? We now will read the second part of the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, as we find it in the back of our Psalter, page 137. The back of our Psalter, page 137. And there we read, "Let us now also consider to what end, to what goal or purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now, after this manner, are we to remember him by it? First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins, the wrath of God pressed out of him, the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul. On the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, 'It is finished, tetelestai.' Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, 'Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me,' that is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And assuredly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life as the bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake. Our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed toward one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may all obtain, all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulation with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body and take us into him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this Holy Supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession in this prayer with our mouth and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now, as preparation for the Lord's Supper, sing Psalter 51, and we'll sing the third stanza, Psalter 51, stanza 2, and then the table will be further prepared and administered. And all them who are confessing members of Providence Reformed Church and the guests in our midst with received approval from the consistory are welcome at the Lord's table. Let us now sing Psalter 51, stanza 3. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not grieve with our heart. And through the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The Lord has prepared all things, and his invitation went out and goes out again. Come, all who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Still place at the Lord's table for a sinner who cannot without Jesus Christ and seeks him. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ. Take, drink from it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Our text verse for this morning are these simple words. Then they killed the Passover. And meant is, of course, the Passover lamb. So many lambs and animals were killed and slaughtered during the time of the Old Testament. And the forgiveness was not in the blood of that animal. Certainly not. The killing of that animal and that blood poured out and that life given all pointed to that great lamb. And once, 2,000 years ago, was John the Baptist. And standing in the desert, in the wilderness of Judea, he sees Jesus coming. And he points to him. The Lamb of God for the sin of the world. All these animals slaughtered and killed. All that blood poured out. It all pointed to Jesus Christ. Then they killed the Passover. That great Passover lamb was also killed. You know by whom? By you and me. By us. By our sins. Actually, we killed him. The very Son of God. And yet here we are at his table. And he invites us. We slaughtered him. And yet he gives us everything he has. He opens all these heavenly treasures, these warehouses, these storerooms. And he gives us so much. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, Son of God in the flesh, was slaughtered by whom? He gave himself. Here I am. I give my life for you. It was his own free decision and will. Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, was killed by whom? By his Father. Because we left our Father in heaven, and the only way to bring us back to him was through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father gave him. He was killed once, just once. And his offer, his sacrifice is enough. We do not have to add anything. Nothing. Nothing. No good work of us matters. The only thing that matters is that we give our hand to the Lord. That we take that outreached hand of him, and that's what we do here at the Lord's. He reaches out to us and we grab his hand and he pulls us up out of that miry pit and he leads us to heaven. That's what we celebrate here. Because he ascended to heaven, that Lamb of God, he gave a perfect atonement and nothing is to be added to it. Nothing. We read in 1 Peter, you know these verses. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but, again that but, eh? With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish, without spot. Thank God we are not redeemed by money, by bank account or credit card. I would always be bothered. Was it enough? Was it enough? Because tomorrow, even today, I will add more sins. And was that, $1 billion enough? I would always doubt my salvation. But we are saved by the blood of the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, it has an eternal value. Eternal. Yes, we will again sin. But he shed his blood. And that blood covers all of our sins yesterday, from today, and tomorrow, and all days of our life. Because he is the very Son of God. He gave his blood, right? It speaks. We are not saved by corruptible things, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It means he gave his life. God of God became man and gave his life. We can just ponder about it. But it has unlimited value because the Son of God gave his life. There is another very comfortable thought. That the Son of God gave his life, because Peter adds to it that he is without blemish, without spot, without sin. Nothing. A perfect lamb. Perfect. And therefore, we shouldn't question his sacrifice, because he is perfect sacrifice. All we need is in him. Well, one more thought about it. the blood of Jesus Christ poured out. In the Old Testament, it was sprinkled on the altar, the corners of the altar. And it was often sprinkled on the people. So it was sprinkled on the altar and on the people. But this altar, right, it's an earthly altar. And that altar in the Old Testament, we can't find it anymore because the temple is gone and the altar is gone. So where should we sprinkle blood? Well, Jesus Christ, because he is the Son of God, sprinkled his blood, not on earth, because all things are perishable here. No, he sprinkled it in heaven before his fatherly throne. And therefore, it has eternal value. It is unlimited in time. His blood has a lasting power. The Son of God poured it out. He gave his life, and it is sprinkled in heaven before the heavenly throne, our Maker. Our Maker. And his blood, because it is brought in the heavenly Jerusalem, opens the gates of heavenly Jerusalem, that we may enter into that heavenly Jerusalem. What an amazing thought. And it opens all heavenly storehouses. And he gives us all. May the Lord fill us with himself and give us that boundless joy every day of our life. Let us sing now. Psalm 116. Psalter 313, and we'll sing two stanzas, 1 and 2. The first two stanzas, Psalter 313, Psalm 116. beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart this, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as is the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103. Who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us pray. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for mediator and sacrifice for our sins, to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we pray. Lord, we thank thee for the Lord's Supper, for thy Son being our host, for that communion with him through thy Spirit, for his sacrifice that has eternal value. Lord, our hearts are filled with reverence and joy. Receive our thanks. We pray for them who couldn't attend the table, whether they are too young, but know the Lord with true saving faith, whether they are not member here, but know the Lord in true saving faith, but didn't seek the approval of the consistory, Lord, we ask thee to be with them and to bless them. Thou art not bound to the table alone. We pray for them who couldn't attend the table, because there is no true saving faith. Lord, have mercy upon them. Thou savest so many savers, sinners. Lord, thy mercy is great enough. Lord, have mercy upon them. We ask thee to go with us and before us and to bring us here again later tonight in an hour of thanksgiving. Hear our prayer in the name of thy Son. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 304. 304. 304. Psalm 111. We'll sing three stanzas, 1, 3, and 6. So, Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 3, and 6. Sursum corda, lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.